I just want to acknowledge two folk, Jimmy from Australia, and Ruth, stand up please, Jimmy. And here's a young man, a fire of God is in his heart, and a wonderful wife, Ruth. Yes. And they're going to have a great future of them if we're together in the kingdom, full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen, amen. Yeah.
They've been bringing some fantastic messages in the last few days. So tomorrow morning is a breakfast, and you know, if you're able to come, don't miss them. But I really praise God for you. You've really got the fire of God right in your belly. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And I must acknowledge my wife, Kayleen. Oh. Yes. Yes. Now, God's a wonderful God. Many of us know that I had a wonderful wife and Pat for many years, and she passed away 4 years ago. And in his plan, he brought Kayleen into my life, or our lives came together, and I have a wonderful wife. I thank God for her. We moved together in the Spirit. Let's put it this way. I had a wonderful first wife, and I've got a wonderful second wife. If that's not God, you tell me who it is. Praise God. Now, you're going to say something for a moment, sweetheart?
Right.
Just a few words.
Say something. Well, we've had a wonderful weekend.
Wait a minute, are you on?
Yes, am I on? I don't know if that's a good sign or not. Is it? Yes, there we are. You know, we've been talking this weekend about so many things, many exciting things. One of the things I was speaking about when I gave my testimony is how the Lord positioned me for purpose. I really had nothing. I was on a road to nowhere. I didn't know Jesus. I was a Christian, but I didn't really have a personal relationship at all with Jesus Christ. And you know, the Lord, as I took my eyes off myself and looked to the Lord, so he positioned me for purpose.
Amen.
And I know that he's positioning each one of you. You're called here for a purpose tonight. Each one of you who have come, who are here. And I want you to really, I encourage you to think about what is the action point that you're going to take away from this weekend, those who've been at the conference, and those who are here tonight. What is the action point that you're going to take away to ensure that you'll be positioned for purpose in God? Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, amen. Yes, give her a clap. Go on. Now, I'm embarking on a new process, program two. I'm opening up live stream, as it's called, and on June the 11th, and once a month I do this at the moment, June the 11th at 7 p.m, I pray live on Sky for people.
Skype.
We've got the equipment to be able to do it now. People can see both the person being prayed for and myself. And 7 p.m. on Thursday the 11th of June, we've got it here. But if you want to know more about it, just go to Dove Ministries. Dove Ministries, you'll find all out about it. Interesting, we had a call the other night from Holland, one from Monrovia. Goodness knows where Monrovia is. From the United States, Australia. But you know, God's the same everywhere. And it's interesting to watch people get a mighty touch from God as we pray. And then, of course, others who are watching, and this is the point of it all, we can only pray for a certain number, obviously, live. But the power of God will touch other people. And when I was on the radio years ago, Radio Rema, you know, we used to get, over the years, hundreds of cases of people being touched simply as you're praying for one person, the power of God touched the others. So just don't forget it. It's June the 11th at 7 o'clock, and it's live stream. If you're interested, just go to Dove Ministries, and that'll take you into where you've got to go. Right. Now, really quickly, what am I going to do? I've got some material here. Can we pass it around quickly? I need about, 10 or 15 really live young guys. Where are you, folks? Nobody over 80, okay? Away you come. I need some more guys to help me put this out. Just for a moment, I don't want to waste too much time. Just pass it around, okay? Just grab heaps of it here. Just come and help us and give us some to the people next door, all right? Yeah. Okay. Just hand them round, eh? Just if you can't get any better, just throw them to a heap of people and be done with it. Thank you. Go into the other room with some, would you please? Now, I know you may have seen them before, some of you, but give it to somebody else. And also, I'm handing out DVDs of testimonies we've taken of actual healings that have stood the ears of... I went around the country about 3 or 4 years ago and asked for healings that, say, people had had long before, and many of them stood for 20 years in their healings, or 30 years. So they're very good to show people, to encourage their faith for healing. We've got a lot of those here. Somebody, one lady's got the lot, I think. Can we just grab some of those DVDs? Pass them out. Can we take some next door, thanks, just to help people? And there's a lot of material out there that we're leaving. If you want any of it, just take it. All right, that's quick. Now, while this is going out, if you brought a child here for healing tonight, if you brought a child for healing, and you can get out from where you are and come to the front, I'll pray for the child right now. Because I know some people have difficulty in having the child wait for hours. I'm talking of a child. I'm not talking about too much about teenage children. I'm talking about young people who, babies and that sort of thing. Yeah, you got one there. You want to bring your child out? If you've come here with a young child, because it could be an ordeal to sit in the meeting for too long. Let me just pray for you now. If there's any other young children to come, you've got a child here with, young child with problems, we'll just pray as this happens. All right, because Jesus prayed when the disciples said, you know, send those children away. Jesus said, no, and except you become like a little child, you shine into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to ask their conditions. I'm just going to pray, believing for healing. All right? Okay, then ask their name, will you?
What's your name? Eden. Eden.
Thank you, Lord, for Eden. Your healing touch, oh, dear Eden. Amen. Mighty touch, mighty touch. Next name?
Nidhi.
Your healing touch, Lord, on Nidhi. There is the power, just with God's power. Okay.
What's your name? Emily.
Emily. There we are, Emily. There's God touching you. Be healed in Jesus' name.
What's your name? Lydia.
Lydia, be healed in Jesus' name. Next one. Lovely anointing here.
Lily,
oh, little Lily. Be healed in Jesus' name, Lily. Right. Sir, bring your baby up. Okay, all set. No more? That's good. Okay, all right. Praise God, praise God. And we've handed out most of that stuff, I think. Okay, all right. Well, I want to go straight a few moments into the message, and there's one or two things I want to do as I go. We're still handing some of that stuff out, but I ask you to perhaps take a rest now. Okay. Yeah, put that material on the back table, sir. Okay, would you go down and tell the gentleman so we're not being disturbed? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you all of the glory. And Father, we thank and praise and worship you. Let's say together, praise God.
Praise God.
Ah, oh, you're a bit slow. But let's say it nice and loud so the whole nation can hear it. Praise God. Amen. You know, when you praise God, he's in your praises. And that's one of the wonderful keys. Thank you. It's one of the wonderful blessings. Keys to healing, right. I just want to speak a few moments about healing. Okay, well, most of us know the scripture, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely Jesus has borne or carried our sicknesses and pains, yet we saw him stricken. Yes, he hung on that cross, bloodied, beaten and mocked. Smitten by God, God allowed this to happen and afflicted. He was wounded because of our sin or transgressions. He was bruised because of our iniquities. The punishment that was due to us was upon him. And by his stripes,
amen.
And you know, that's our governing scripture for healing. And as we believe it, the presence and power of God can fall. Now, one can spend a lot of time speaking of, as I've said in those videos and elsewhere, DVDs, of wonderful healings we've seen. And your turn could be right here now in the next few moments as we speak. So if you have a faith in your heart, you can experience the presence of God. Now, let's make it clear to you, nobody is here by accident. Nobody comes to God, the Bible says, Nobody comes to Jesus unless God calls them. Nobody comes to Jesus unless God calls them. So we're all here by an appointment of God. Nobody comes to Jesus unless God calls them. So God has called us all into this meeting tonight. It's my responsibility as speaking in this meeting to make it very clear to you certain basic issues, because if you're not a Christian, you need to understand it and why we meet in this way. If you are a Christian, God will have, I'm sure, something to say to you through the Word of God as I speak it. But let's be very clear. As my reading of the Bible, you may disagree with me, but I've read it now for 44 years. I don't find anywhere that God calls everybody. He called in the Old Testament, he only called the Jews and a few strangers into his kingdom. Most of the Jews ignored it, so eventually their whole setup was destroyed because they disobeyed God. Now he's given us, the Gentiles, as the Bible called them, and a further chance. And as I read the scripture, nobody comes to God unless to Jesus unless God first calls them. So God's called us all here tonight, and I think we should be privileged and listen to what he may have to say through his word. All right, first point about healing, and many of you have come for it, and these are simple basic issues. We'd have no other gods before the one true God. I'm going to ask you this question tonight. Is God really first in your life? This is the first issue if you want to get anywhere with God. We've just heard a wonderful testimony there of the, what's his name?
Fred.
Wonderful testimony. Wasn't it a wonderful testimony?
Yes.
And it just fills in perfectly with what I have to say tonight. So that's God. Now, you know, his testimony is how God moved in his life and he put him first and what happened. Wonderful testimony. My testimony is just the same. I'm sure Kayleen's is the same. Many testimonies are because we put God first in our lives. Is sport first? Is shopping first? Is your car first? Is some other thing first? If it is, it's an idol. And God says, you must put him first. So I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a few moments. And as part of stepping into the power and faith of God, in a moment I'm going to ask you to make a decision and say to the Lord, if you're willing, I want to put you first from now on in my life. I did that 44 years ago, transformed my life. And I want to put aside other things and put you first in my life so I can receive your love and blessing, health and strength as I've never had it before. So let's bow our heads, please. And if you know you haven't put God first in your life, in a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and let's just express to God the fact that we will, in fact, put him first. And let us make this decision. This is a great decision you can make tonight, whether you've been walking with God for 40 years or 20 years or 10 years. Are you putting God first in your life? As the Holy Spirit shows you whether you are or not, or if your conscience shows you where you are or not, I want you, if you know you're not putting him first, in a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Just think for a moment. No compulsion. This is your decision. But if you want to get on with God, and you've come here tonight, obviously, for some good reason, think about what I'm saying. If you know that you're not really putting God first in your life, please raise your hand now. Many hands are being raised around the place. Please stand quickly where you are. Please stand quickly where you are. There's many plans, many people. Now, I mean, I could go and pray for the sick all night, but I know this is one of the major blockages to healing. That's the Holy Spirit's taught me this. What I'm teaching you now is what the Holy Spirit's taught me. Now, it's not too late to stand. I presume there's people standing in the other room, possibly in the corridor, but whatever, wherever you're standing now, let's say together, those of you standing, and perhaps you sitting if you wish to, but certainly those standing, dear Heavenly Father, I confess you are, I've not put you first in my life. From this moment forward, with your help, the help of your Holy Spirit, I will put you first. In Jesus' name, I make this vow. Help me, Lord. Amen. Now, remain standing and put your hands on your body. Here's your first opportunity to be healed. Close your eyes, please. God's pleased with what you're doing. You're breaking down barriers in your life. Now, Father, I pray for your healing touch on each and every person. Your great anointing now, Lord. Your great anointing coming on each and every person standing to the glory of God. God is healing. Asthma is being healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. A person with joint pain is right down the lower part of your body. You are being healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. A person who's had a persistent cough for years is being healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. First of all, say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, stand up again for a moment, please. One other thing. Sometimes there are spiritual powers afflicting us. They call spirits or demons. And we all can be touched or oppressed by these things. So let's go through. I'm just going to do this prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cut off the power of any demonic spirit afflicting you. Now take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit and breathe out hard. Breathe in and breathe out hard. Do it a third time. Go! Go! Out! Cough it out! Cough it out! Cough it out! Every demonic power that's afflicting you, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this is got to be quick about this. The Holy Spirit speaks to me of a person going by the name of Joan with pain in her joints, and it's a long-standing affliction. It may be her name, or you have that. Many people have pain in their bones and so forth. If it may be the person with the name of Joan or a name that means something to them. The mother or father, mother may have been Joan or another person. If it's you, can you just wave your hand to me? You are, sister. You claim it right away. Pardon?
John is my third name.
John is your third name. Stand up where you are, please, sister. Put your hands on your chest. Close your eyes. There's the power of God coming on you now. Be healed and be set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a swelling going down. Now, any other person with pain in their bones, stand now wherever you are. Wherever you are. Anybody in the place with pain in your bones. There's somebody else, there's a swelling going down in your body right now. Put your hand on your chest and do what that sister's doing. And I'm sorry I'm so directive, but I've got to work through stuff. Thank you. Put your hands on your bones, please, on your chest. Now, here's the anointing, the presence and power of God. Now, Father, I pray for your mighty healing touch. I confess my love of each and every person standing. Touch them mightily, Lord. Oh, there's people suffering from rejection. Lord, show them the reason for that rejection. But, Lord, be healed and set free. Now, as I'm saying those words, just simply believe God. Don't try to get healed. Just let God do it. Just relax in God. You'll feel his power touching you. You'll feel his power touching you. There it is. There it is. Now, if you don't feel anything, just believe. We don't go by feeling, we go by faith. Be healed in Jesus' name. I just see joints swelling so much. There's more than one person here. His joints have been swollen, and I'm telling you now, you're being healed. Amen. There's the presence of God right through the place. Amen and amen. All right, Father, we thank you, we praise and worship you. Amen. Please be seated, believing for your healing. I'd love to take testimonies, but the time prevents it. Right. Secondly, honor your father and mother, that all may be well and that you live long on the earth. Let me say it again. Honor your father and mother, that all may be well and that you may live long on the earth. What's the opposite? Dishonor your father and mother, and all will not be well, and you will not live long on the earth. The scripture is very clear that we must honor our mother and father. It doesn't mean to say, oh, well, I got on okay with them. Oh, yeah, dad was okay, but, or mum was okay, but. No, it means really honoring them. And if they're alive, you need to go to them and ask them, listen carefully, to forgive you. For any wrong attitude you've ever had towards them, and then tell them you forgive them. They may be unsaved. They get the shock of their lives when you tell them that. But the issue is that will cut off the curses that have come down through generation after generation after generation. You could be sitting here tonight carrying the sins of one generation after another in your life, and you're wondering why nothing is happening right. You, if there's Freemasonry in your family, that's a curse. The Freemasons worship Satan in the 33rd degree. They don't even know they're doing it because they stop them at the third degree, the most of them. So there could be something else in your life from your ancestors. They could have been into all sorts of stuff. I don't know what my great-grandfather was into. He might have been worshipping any sort of idols or whatever. And I don't want to carry that junk in my life. So we've got to honor and forgive our mother and father. And when we do that, the miraculous part is it cuts off all that junk that's following us through. Why can't you get a job? Why have you always been sick? Why have you always been in poverty? Why have you always felt depressed? Why have you all this? Well, you could be carrying all the junk from generation after generation. Who wants to carry junk? Tell me. Nobody. Okay. If you know that God's speaking to you about the need to really speak to your mother and father, if they're alive, of course, and ask them to forgive you and then tell them then you forgive them, or if they are dead or one of them is, you'll go before God and ask him to forgive you for your wrong attitudes to your parent or parents and receive his forgiveness. If you're in either category, if you know that you need to put things right in some way with about your mother and father so you don't carry any more of this lying junk that the devil will throw at you, stand now! Come on now, there's a whole heap of people. If you know you need to come through, I'll stand for you and honor your mother and father. Come on now, there's only just a few of you standing. Half the meeting should be standing. That's my experience. There's a lot more. Have you really made peace with your mother and father or their memory? Usually 50% of the meeting stand. There's a lot, quite a number. Let me think. There's at least 20 more to stand. Come on now, where you are. One. Come on. I see one. Just one. There must be more. Two. Three. Four. Thank you, five. Come on. Stand wherever you are. Five. Let's be honest. I'm not taking you by surprise, but you're thinking about it. There might be people in the other room, I don't know. Any others to stand in this room? Six, thank you. You keep going. Any others to stand, please? Thank you, Lord. This is critical. It's not important. It is super critical. It is the hardest thing you might have ever done. Your father might have beaten you. He might have raped you. He might have done all sorts of stuff. But you've still got to ask him to forgive you and tell him that you forgive him. Because then, otherwise you're carrying all this junk. Who wants to carry junk? Not me, anyway. Thank you, Lord. I was fortunate enough to have a good mum and dad. I honoured them, even though when my mother died and my father married again, there were problems. I still honoured them, and God always blessed me, always blessed me. All right, we've got a lot of people standing. Let's follow me in this prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I now honor my mother and father. I forgive them. I ask your forgiveness for any wrong attitudes towards them. I renounce their sins and those of my ancestors in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I believe I'm set free at the cross of Jesus Christ. Now here comes the best part. That I may enter into the blessings of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You're going to enter the blessings of Abraham. Now raise your hands, please, and surrender to God. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to pray the same as I did in the first case. In a moment, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Breathe in now the Holy Spirit. The deep breath of the Holy Spirit, please. And breathe out hard. Breathe in and breathe out hard. Breathe in. Breathe out, ha, go. Every spirit of, you cough out anything you feel in there. Cough it out, cough it out, cough it out. Go, every spirit of infection, every spirit of sickness, every spirit of disease, go in Jesus Christ's name. Out. Thank you, Lord. Now, receive your healing. Put your hands on your chest, please. Put your hands out towards me, those in this room, and possibly just put your hands in front of you in the other room. Here's God's power. Yeah, you'll feel the power. Here it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There it is. The anointing is falling. Be healed and set free in Jesus' name. The word of God never changes. And when we obey it, it always works. Did you know that? Just receive your healing. Expect your healing just by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Please be seated. The next name the Lord gives me is for asthma, Sarah. If the name of if you have asthma or your child has asthma and Sarah is related to that name, That's the case that I want to pray for. Is it in the other room or here? Asthma, Sarah. Doesn't mean to, let's get it clear. The person I'm calling has a problem with asthma. But asthma Sarah may not be their name. It may be the name of a sister or a mother or father. But Sarah is relevant to that. I know that the Lord is in that. You're raising your hand for your child. Okay. Stand where you are, sister. Put your hand on your child. And let's all agree about this, dear sister. Thank you, Lord. Did you stand for the other, either of the other situations? The Lord said he's already broken it. I'll tell you what it is. It's the spirit of fear. Would you? Fear is always behind asthma. If you have a person with asthma, I've learned years ago, I've seen hundreds of cases healed when they renounce fear. So would you like to say, because I know it affects your child, but it comes through you, sister. Do you mind me saying, and the father? Let's say together, so would you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, say, I renounce fear. Help me, Lord. That's what I hear saying. And say it again, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce fear. Take a deep breath, sister, and breathe out hard. I cut that off you now. I cut it off the child. It's through you, darling, that the child has got the condition, all right? But don't be guilty. Just put your hand in a cutting motion now across the front of your chest, as though you're cutting something off affecting your child. Expect a healing of that child in the name of Jesus Christ. God is touching the child now. There's the power of God on the child. Put your hand on the child. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right, praise God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering, shall we? Thank you, Father. Praise God. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. The Bible says if we don't forgive, we go to hell. You may be a pastor. You may have gone to church for 40 years. If you don't forgive, you are going to hell. The Bible is crystal clear. In Matthew 14, God speaks of this. I don't think he's got them up anyway. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Mark 11, 25 and Matthew 6, 14 and Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Quilivy says that. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Why? So that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:25. The Lord's Prayer even says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And then that's in Matthew 6:12. And Matthew 6:14, Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Then Jesus gives the example of a man who was forgiven by his master of a great sum of money, and that represents a similar situation to ours. And that fellow was forgiven. He was going to be thrown into jail, but he then went out and grabbed somebody who owed him money, and because he wouldn't forgive him, he threw him into jail. So the master heard about it, and that's God hearing about it when we claim to be forgiven at the cross and we refuse to forgive others. So my heavenly Father... Oh, well, first of all, he was delivered to the torturers, this first fellow, until he should pay all he could. And so my heavenly Father will also do to you, the tongue-talking, born-again, 40-year-old Christian, if you don't forgive your brother his sins. So if you're sitting in church and you're holding something against somebody, do you think God's going to forgive you? No. You say, but he forgave me at the cross. Yes, when you forgive others. There's nothing automatic about it. Do you think God allowed his son to hang there on that cross for 6 hours in utter agony? Every breath he took was sheer agony to forgive you. Bloodied, beaten, mocked and scourged to forgive you and me. And we feel we can go out and say we're a Christian and don't need to forgive others, when the Bible clearly says if we don't forgive, we won't get into heaven. So on that last day, when you come before God with all the things you've done for God and the way you've walked in a holy way, yes, God, you'll say, if you don't forgive, begone, I never knew you, you who practice sin. It can't be anything clearer than that. And I believe multitudes are going into hell because they've never been taught that. It's a critical issue because it's at the heart of the gospel, and we cannot claim God's forgiveness unless we forgive others. There's nothing automatic about God just forgiving us and we go and do what we like. We must forgive others. And that's a major block for healing. Many people never get healed because they've never forgiven. Got the message? I can't make any clearer than that. Let's bow your heads, please. Let the Holy Spirit show you anybody that you may need to forgive. And let's be honest about this. You've been brought here by the Lord. We're not here to play games. We're here to have... This is life. This is spiritual life for with God or not. And let him show you anybody you've not forgiven. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to renounce. We're going to forgive that person or persons. And let the Spirit of God touch you for healing. Thank you, Lord. Very well, then. Father, I just pray that you show each and every person, including myself, Lord, if need be, anybody I need to forgive. Very well. Now's the moment. Would you please stand if you know you need to forgive somebody? Please stand. Great masses of people usually stand for this. Great masses. Never been taught. Never understood it. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, the pastors will be held in God's judgment for not teaching this. If you're a pastor, tremble if you haven't taught it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Oh, there's a heart condition being healed right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's say together, anybody else wish to stand? I'll give you one more second, a couple of seconds to stand. This is coming up the last moment. I can't stay here too long. There's a lot of people standing. I'd say 60% of the crowd are standing in this room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, I'm following exactly what the Lord says. Tell them to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit. He's here. And breathe out. Ha! Breathe in. And breathe out. Ha! Breathe in. And breathe out. Ha! Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to consciously before God say, Lord, I forgive whoever it is. Might be your husband. Might be some guy you knew, you girls. Might be something else. But whoever it is, just forgive as God has forgiven you. And let his love flow into your heart for healing. Just forgive. That is forgive. That is forgive. Just forgive. Let your heart be healed. Just forgive. Forgive. May I like to raise your hands and the power of God will come on you as you forgive. As he's present. Just forgive. Now the Lord says, cough that spiritual power out that's not of him. Cough it out. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Every demon power, flee. Flee now, demon of unforgiveness. Leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. You lie, you cheat, you thief. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Be healed. Now put your hands on your chest, please. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Now begin to thank God for your healing. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No matter how you feel, we don't go by feeling, we go by faith. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Okay, please be seated. I'd like to pray for somebody with a heart problem who relates to the name of Tom. Relates to the name of Tom. Could be many heart conditions here today, but specifically, I'd like to pray with a person to whom the name of Tom means something, but you have the heart problem. Tom may be somebody else, but or maybe your name. Okay, what's that mean to you, sister? Oh, you've got a husband, brother, and cousin who's Tom. Well, that's pretty solid and evidence. And have you got the heart problem? You have. Step out here for a moment, please. You're close to me. I can bring you out. Thank you, Lord. But you can identify with this dear lady as we pray. You can identify with her. If you have a heart problem, the moment they're going to ask you to stand and get your healing as well for that specific condition. Just stand there, sister. I'm not going to lay hands on you. The power of God will touch you. Just raise your hands high. Close your eyes. Here's his power. Thank you, Lord, coming through your body now. You'll feel it. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray for her. Now, if you have a heart problem, stand where you are. Anybody else with a heart problem in this meeting, stand where you are. Well, the anointing comes on this lady now. Here she's getting more power. Don't struggle, sister. Just receive. Now, close your eyes, folks. And in the other room, too, I'm just conscious of you. I'm thinking of you as well. Just raise your hands, close your eyes, and just let the power of God touch you. If you don't feel anything, just still simply believe. Thank you, Lord. There you are. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Don't speak in tongues, sister. Don't speak in tongues. Don't say anything. Just let the Spirit of God touch you. That's the whole secret of this. I mean, Fancy having three Toms in your family. I didn't have a clue you were even in the meeting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, your healing touch on this, dear sister. I said I wouldn't touch you, but I'm going to just put my hand on your shoulder, the Lord says. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, for every person being touched now by your spirit, Lord, I just pray healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to push you over, sister. Thank you, Lord. There we are. There's his power anyway. You're going anyway. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, begin to thank God, those of you standing, for your healing, no matter how you feel. Lord, sister, the Lord is opening valves in your heart. Sir, the Spirit of God is on you. And you've, there's the power touching. Look at the power coming right through his body now. Look, there it is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother here, look at me, brother. This one here. You know, as though there's been no hope about this in your life, just raise your hands. Here's his power. It's coming on your body now. Thank you, Jesus. There it is, strong. Close your eyes, getting stronger. Thank you, Jesus. It's getting more powerful. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And there you are. You'll feel it going right through your body. God's giving you hope. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. I mean, I'd love just to pray for you all, but God can touch you right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Lovely to see people go down in the spirit. In my view, it doesn't matter the way they go down, it's the way they come up. A lot of people go down because the others are going down. No. I believe in just let the Spirit do what he's doing. Okay. Now, keys to healing. Let me get on to the next one. Where am I? Faith in God. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That's in Mark 11:22. So we're to have faith in God. Not in ourselves, faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Think about the mountain that's in your life tonight. Is it sickness? Is it a problem of some description? We're going to pray about that mountain in a moment and let God remove it. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you pray, you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. That's what Mark 11:23-24. So as you pray, you've got to believe you receive and you will have. So we'll be doing that in just a moment. Just a little story. I was down in Queenstown quite a time ago, and somebody said to me, would you go and pray for this lady who has depression? So I went round to her, and I talked to her for a while and prayed for her, and she seemed to improve. And anyway, eventually she got up and so forth. And I said, anybody else I can pray for? And she said, well, would you pray for our dog? Pray for your dog. I said, what's wrong with your dog? And she said, well, it can't walk. It hasn't walked for 3 weeks. And of course, it'll have to be put down. It's crippled. Oh, okay. Bring the pooch in. So anyway.
He doesn't like dogs.
I mean, I don't mind some dogs, but... Oh, here I am. I came to pray for her, not a dog. But anyway. But I could see God had a plan. I thought he did anyway. So she brought this dog in. I'm going to call her. She brought this dog in, a young person did, and put it in the hands, and I prayed for this dog. And prayed for it, went home. Anyway, that was Friday. Monday, a friend rang up and said, you know what happened? I said, oh, what happened? Well, first of all, the lady seemed to get much better generally. And they had a cat. They just moved into the house. And in fact, what had happened, they had just moved from another house that day. And when I got there, they had all the stuff all over the place. But they said this cat shot out the window and disappeared. You know, apparently cats, when they move from place to another, they want to go back to the other place. And it was on its way back to that pretty town,
Harrowtown,
they thought. But anyway, they thought it had gone. But when they got up the next morning, here's the cat meowing around the house, but here's this jolly dog running around fully healed. And I said to the Lord, now, I've had a sore knee for a while, why don't I get healed? Well, why'd that dog get healed? He said, well, the dog had no unbelief. Well, that's how it is. A jolly dog was still healed, but the woman got it. The woman got better because she saw a dog healed. Okay. Dogs got it. Now, that's a true story. Now, then we come back to faith. If you have a mountain in your life and tonight you want to pray for that mountain to be moved, then well and good. We'll pray for you accordingly. Think about it. There's some problem in your life that you're having great difficulty with, or some difficulty. So if that's the case, please stand now. You're believing for a mountain in your life to be removed. Let's take hold of the Word of God. You know, Smith Wigglesworth read nothing but the Bible. That's why he raised 14 from the dead and had many other healings. If you have a mountain in your life, stand up now. Even if the mountain's your husband or wife, doesn't matter. We don't want them to be removed, but we want the problem dealt with. Okay. Anybody else want to stand? Thank you, Lord. Now, don't look at me like that, Kayleen. Okay. Now let's say together, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord. I now confess that in my own strength, I have not been able to deal with this problem. I now submit to you and ask you to remove this problem out of my life. I say, be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ, go. Now stretch your hand out towards heaven as though you're touching the whole situation. Let God touch it. Father, I ask now for miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance, miracles of whatever's required in this case, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, please. All right. Please be seated. The final point I want to make on this part of the meeting is one good thing about keys to healing. Guess what it is? Ha-ha. Diet and exercise. You know, the Bible talks about diet and exercise. Did you know that? Now, I'm not condemning anybody here. I'm simply saying the Bible suggests diet and exercise because we need to discipline our body. The Apostle Paul says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection in case when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, that's 1 Corinthians 9:27. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection lest after I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Sometimes we can become disqualified from preaching or whatever because obviously we might have a weight problem, we may have some sickness in our body, but whatever it is, diet and exercise are important. And I just comment on that because it's crystal clear in 1 Corinthians 9:27. So there we are, folks, some keys to healing. Let's say together, praise God.
Praise God.
God is good. Do you know God's got a plan for your life?
Yes.
We just, what was your name? Dick, wasn't it? The fellow
Fred,
gave
Fred.
Fred had that wonderful testimony. Listen, saw how God moved in his life. It's a marvel to me that I've got this message about God's plan in our life, and I won't be over long with it. He's got a plan for each one of us. And you heard the testimony there. I hardly need to talk. God proved it to himself through Fred. What did he do? He submitted to God. And I want to say this to you. Trust in the Lord. This is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I don't know if you can put that up, folks, but anyway. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's the promise of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means surrender to God. And as Fred did it, he surrendered to God. God moved in his life. We need to, if you've never been born again, you've come to this meeting because you want to be healed. Somebody's told you that you go to a Bill Zabriskie meeting, you'll get healed. Yes, God will do healing if you believe. But if you've come to this meeting, you've never given your life to Christ, at the finish of the meeting, I'm going to give you that opportunity because it's the most critical thing we can do to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what the born again experience is? I'll tell you what it is. It radically changes your life. Radically changes. I was chairman of the Stewardship Council of the Diocese of Auckland. I thought I was a very important man in those days. That was before God humbled me. And I saw that I wasn't an important man. But anyway, as I said on Friday night, well, you know, I thought I did so much for God that he was lucky to have me on his side. But that's by the way. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that I was used to write out to people on behalf of the diocese, encourage people to give to the diocese. One day somebody sent me a letter and said, Bill, you need to be born again. I didn't even know what they were talking about. And here was I, a leader in the Diocese of the Anglican Church in Auckland, didn't even know what born again was. Born again is when you turn your life to Christ. It's a very simple exercise. You say, Jesus, I turn from my sin. I come into you. And I ask you to come into my life. I surrender to you. Now, if you do that from your heart, a miracle begins to happen. You step out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it's so different, it's unbelievable. Because the values that you have, if you're in the kingdom of darkness, that is, if you're not born again, when you come into the kingdom of light, God's kingdom, that's why he's brought you here tonight, it's so miraculous, so different, you'd never believe it. And that was me. I came into the kingdom of God when I saw a person getting healed like here tonight. I saw the power of God for the first time in my life after going to church for 20 years. Nobody had ever shown me that God had power to heal. And when I saw this client of mine, I was a lawyer, miraculously healed by the power of God, by this evangelist, or by the spirit work, God's spirit working through him, I suddenly realized I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about God. And I followed that evangelist and gave my life to Christ. And, you know, Pat and I are on the point of separation. I was in a bad way because I wanted out of the marriage. I was very wealthy. I'd built 14,000 homes in Auckland on land I developed. I was a senior partner in law practice. I could go on and on and on. I started with nothing, grew into that. That was my God. And I was on the way to hell. And, you know, when I got born again that night, by the Spirit of God, I raised my hand. I came forth in the meeting, and I was led through a prayer, and I got baptized in the Spirit that night. It was all strange stuff to me, but the Spirit of God changed me, and I was radically changed. You know, one of the most marvelous things that happened was our marriage was instantly and absolutely healed. You know, Pat had always loved the Lord, and here was me saying I knew about God, but I knew nothing. And our marriage was instantly healed for many, many years. We traveled together. We had a wonderful marriage. We never, ever had an argument after that. We worked together in the Spirit. Now, I married Kayleen, or Kayleen's married me. I'm not sure which. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, the fact of the matter is that we move in the Spirit. And we have never had an argument in our 4 years of marriage. I was married to that other lady, Pat, for all those years. Now, Kayleen, it's when you move together in the Holy Spirit. And it's a miraculous experience. But I made a decision from to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Because I was full of lust. I wanted women. I wanted to get out of my marriage. I wanted to do everything wrong. Now, suddenly, all that stuff left me. That's why I hate demons. I talk to those demons. And they tell me they hate me, and I hate them with a holy hatred. And I tell them to get out, and I've got authority in the name of Jesus over them. And that's how it happens. And you have authority, not just me. You have authority over them when you exercise it. Thank you very much. If I can double up on this, I just shared quickly, just comes from my mind, just the other night in a meeting, as I was laying, praying for the power of God to fall, this woman manifested violently. She was a part island lady. She was swirling around. Three guys got hold of her and couldn't hold her down. And the Holy Spirit just said, go up and talk to her. And I got them to stop her and hold her for a moment. And I looked into her eyes and I looked at the demons. And I said, I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you a thing that you normally do if you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. I looked into her eyes. I said, look at me, demon. I have authority over you. Out in the name of Jesus. And she shook for a moment. The thing was gone. She looked around and she was, well, what has happened to me? She came out and gave her life to Christ. Now, I'm not boasting at all. Please don't hear that. But I've dealt with those things, and I don't ever claim that I know enough, but I've dealt with them for many years, written books on it and all, and I tell you, it's terrible stuff that can afflict your life. It can afflict your life, and if you need deliverance, you should seek deliverance if something is compelling and tormenting you. So, all right, coming back to that and back to my testimony, when I turned to God fully, things began to happen. And my legal partners became Christians. We started a prayer meeting in my home, and over the next 8 years, thousands came. And I began to speak elsewhere. My life was radically changed. Now my priority became God and everything. And in the next 40 years, I had a wonderful life. I've still got a wonderful life and a wonderful wife. So I want to just encourage you. If you haven't given your life to Christ, it's a radical experience because you will suddenly see how much darkness you were in when the music of the world, the things of the world, the stuff that takes you away from God, and you want everything you could get of Christ. Kayleen became a Christian about 8, 10 years ago, and all she could do was go from one church to another to get as much as she could, just to get as much as she could of God, because suddenly she found such a difference between being in darkness and light. So can I encourage you to think?
Then I got you, darling.
Then you got me. Okay. Thank you very much. So it's total surrender to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. and then you give him the chance to operate in your life. That's as simple as that. We all want to do things our way. And let me tell you, the thing I have learned is that when we strike an obstacle and we think we can't get over it, as we trust God, he finds a way around it. Finds a way around. I've just been negotiating for between two major churches in Auckland for certain things to happen, and we struck one obstacle after another, but as we waited on the Lord, he opened another door, opened another door, opened another door, and unity's coming. I mean, the fact of the matter is that if we surrender to God, he will open the door that you want to be opened. I've seen it hundreds of times in my own life where he's opened a door which was impossible, opened a door and done something that was impossible. When I've gotten out of his way and trusted him. So trust the Lord with all your heart, which means surrendering to God and being born again. Now, born again is the first experience. That's the greatest experience you can have. But then be filled with the Holy Spirit is the second experience, which the disciples had on the day of Pentecost when Jesus appeared in bodily form in his resurrection body and spoke to them for 40 days, told them to wait. In Jerusalem, they waited. The power of God fell on them, and they spoke in tongues. My people, I'm calling you. I believe this is a translation, or interpretation. My people, I'm calling you unto me. If you would but listen to what is being said, you would find your lives radically changed. I'm speaking from the Word of God. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit's saying through me right now for you. And we believe in Christ, we cling to him. You know, believing in Christ is not just believing, oh yes, I believe in Christ, yeah, I know about the cross, I know about it. It's clinging to, trusting him, obeying him. That's what it means, clinging to him, trusting him, obeying him. Let's say together, clinging to him, trusting him, obeying him. That's what the word clinging means in the original Greek. So we've got to cling to and trust and obey God. Not just an intellectual exercise. You know, our carnal, ugly, natural mind, the natural mind we're born with, is totally against God. Totally against God. And the problem is that when we try to do things through our natural mind in God's will, it doesn't work. We need to have the mind of Christ. And God changes our mind as we trust him and gives us the mind of Christ. So it's from our heart with the mind of Christ that we can believe. And it's our natural mind and heart that's against God. All right. Then we cling to Christ, we're led by the Holy Spirit, and of course we've got to read and believe the Word of God. Now these are simple, straightforward principles. But I'm saying most Christians I find are sort of drifting along just hoping things will come right. God's got something better than that for you. God's got something better than that for you. And then lean not on your own understanding. The first part was trust in the Lord. Then lean not on your own understanding. Don't let your own thoughts guide you. Wait on the Lord, expecting to hear some confirmation. Lean not on our own understanding. Trust God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And he'll guide us by a thought or impression or a vision or his audible voice. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus Christ. In all your ways, acknowledge God. What does that mean? Well, I might go to a coffee shop for something and an opportunity occurs to talk to the waitress for a few moments and she may have nothing else to do, so I talk to her about Jesus. If I'm in a taxi, as I said the other night, I've got a captive audience. If I'm in some other situation, I just open up gently and throw it straight at them. You know, are you a Christian or what do you do? And most people respond, oh, no, I'm not. Well, I want to tell you what happened in my life. It's simple, simple, simple. So in all our ways, acknowledge him. The Bible says, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, whatever you do in word or deed, all right, can you go to the films or watch a lot of filth in the name of Jesus? I can't. A lot of violence? Can you watch a lot of stuff on the TV? It says here, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. So are you doing stuff where you can give thanks to God? Are you swearing? Are you able to say, all right, I can use bad language? Can you? Is that doing everything to the glory of God? I don't think so. Are you really doing everything or thinking about God when you make decisions on various issues? We must put him first. Doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are your habits, your actions, your thoughts in accordance with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, purity is an essential part of working with God and getting his plan working in our lives. And then we do those, he shall direct your paths. That's the promise of God. He shall direct your paths. When we do that, when we lean not on our own understanding, when we do these things, we will then be in his will, and God will be able to help us. You know, it's when we do stuff in our own will, such as, you know, say, disobeying him, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and what is the promise then? He shall direct your paths. And you're facing obstacles, all of us do, as you allow God to move in your life. Reading the Word of God, every day I read the Word, and every day he speaks to me through it about some issue. He enlightens some part of it. He gives me direction in my life. He gave me direction in my business when I had hundreds of people working for me. He gave me direction in my law practice. He gave me direction in every area. He gave me direction when I came to marriage with Kaylee. All of these things, he will direct our paths. And that's the promise of God. He'll make the way clear. It's not with our natural mind that we can understand all this stuff. It's because we have a spiritual mind. And then, let's take these just two simple principles that follow all of that. The Bible says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Now, when you want to start praying, sometimes you can think, oh, dear Lord, you know, will God hear me? Am I good enough to be heard? And all this stuff. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, that's referring to our conscience. If our conscience is clear on all matters, I mean, when I used to give my staff company cards for petrol to drive their vehicles, I'd say, look, if you put your groceries on this and your other stuff, that's against conscience. You are cheating. You are thieving. Check every action. So if your heart is clear, your conscience is clear, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence. So a lot of people's faith is blocked by the fact that their conscience is telling them they're not doing the right thing. So let God speak to you in that area. If there's something on your conscience you know is right, confess it to God, put it right, and this will clear the path. Then it goes on, whatever we ask from him, we receive because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when we have our conscience right before God, we ask whatever we ask. This is the Bible saying. Now, we won't ask for nonsense. We won't ask for $1 million tomorrow or to jump over the moon or something. We will ask things that are in accordance with the Word of God, which are obvious, you know, for health and prosperity and peace and joy and godly marriage, all the rest of it. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. This is what the Word of God says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So we have to have confidence that God will answer. And here it comes finally. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. This is in John 5, 14 and 15. So if we ask something from God and our conscience is clear, we know that he hears us. We know that he hears us. So when you're praying to God, if you know he hears us, then you know you have got what you've asked for. It's going to happen. It's a critical issue. If your conscience is clear, you're loving the Lord, if you're endeavoring to follow him, you're doing your best in your own strength, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, if you're doing that, then God will answer the prayer because you keep his commandments, that is to love God, love one another, but also to work rightly before God and don't do wrong things. In then case, we know that he hears us. And when we know whatever we ask, we will have the petitions we've asked of him. So, you know, it's all as simple as that, what I'll run through. The plan that God has for our lives, he's got a plan for every one of us. Are you walking in that plan? The decision is yours to lean not on your understanding and always acknowledge him in all your ways and have your conscience clear before God. And as you ask him, your heart is clear, you know already you have the answer to your prayer. Now, very simple principles. And I've used those principles for years and years and years. And all I can tell you, God bless me. I could spend all night telling in testimony the blessings I've had. I'm not here to boast. I'm not here to say I'm somebody special. I'm just a simple Christian. And the Bible says, become as a little child and you can be blessed. It's when we try to act out with God, it doesn't work. So there we are. So that's the situation. Now I'm going to just put up some things which block us from receiving God into our lives or block us receiving the blessings of God. And I want the Lord just to show you that, and I'll wind up at that base, on that basis. We'll pray for the sick after that. But I just want to go through a list of things which separate us from God. Can we put that up, please? Called the sin list. I call it anyway, and I'll just read it from my Bible. Sin list. Now, these are the things that separate us from God. They have a bit of a struggle getting it up, but anyway, listen to me as I speak it out. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Do you not know? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. And by the way, every time I put this up, I remind people never to read the thing called the Message Bible. It takes all of the scripture out. And another verse altogether with another 10 sins, and replaces them with the words, those who use the earth and abuse it. And it takes sin out of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. It is not a Bible. In my view, it was conceived in hell, and it should be burnt. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. It's leading millions to hell, to hell right now, because it has taken sin out. And if you take sin out of the Bible, what's left? I mean, what's the major work of the Holy Spirit is not to heal, not to cast out demons. That's part of his work. The major work is to convict us of the need of sin, of the need for right standing with God, and of the day of judgment. And if we take sin out of the Bible, what's left? How can the Holy Spirit convict us? And I know young people are running around, they think they can fornicate, they can do this and do that because God loves them. They don't realize they're going straight into the fires of hell. You can't have sex outside of marriage and claim you're a Christian. No. You're going to hell, all that sort of stuff. But all that's taken out of that so-called Bible. It was first of all put out as a paraphrase of the Bible in 1990. I remember then they gradually shoved the word Bible in front of it or behind it, whatever it is. So the 1 Corinthians 6, 9, do you not know the unrighteous? These are the people who will not go into heaven, but will go to hell. And the Bible is so clear. God's love is clear. Let's be clear. I'm not talking about God's anger. I'm just talking about the path that Jesus said is narrow and difficult, and few there be that find it. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many that go in by it. Be not be deceived, neither fornicators. People having sex outside of marriage, if you die in that condition, you will go to hell. No idolater. We've talked about idolatry, putting other things ahead of God. Nor no adulterer, nor any homosexual. They can change all the laws. But no homosexual will go to heaven unless they repent of homosexuality. And if they repent, in my experience, the demon that entered them as a child, or the demon came into them by somebody molesting them as a child, the demon entered them when they were in the womb, I should say, or the demon that entered them between the ages of 1 and 10 when somebody molested them, or as a result of a marriage breakdown, will lose its power and go. Christ can set them free. No sodomite, that's homosexual action. No thief. If you've stolen something and you haven't repented, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Nor anybody who's covetous. That is, I wish I had his possessions. I wish I had his car. I wish I had this and that. You get your eye on their possessions rather than God. No drunkard. No person who curses others. No person who extorts money. That's take things wrongly for other people. Nor any person who practices uncleanness like filthy language, dirty jokes, or any form of indecency like pornography will inherit the kingdom of God. I've given you the scriptural references there. And anybody who practices witchcraft in any form, such as fortune-telling, horoscopes, some forms of heavy metal rock, Ouija boards, wrong drugs, losing lucky charms, spiritism, trying to call up the dead, and Freemasonry will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice martial arts, thank you, Lord, Kung Fu, Aikido, Taekwondo, Karate, Tai Chi, Judo, you're worshipping other gods. Don't tell me you go to the gym and do it and doesn't mean anything. It means something. You're bowing to another god, not the one true God. It's all based in Taoism and Buddhism. Druids Lodge, Eastern religions such as yoga, transcendental meditation, or being hypnotized. Some dentists hypnotize people, but you're getting the goddess Shiva to come into your life, the god Shiva, the Hindu goddess, god I should say. Worshipping the creation, now that's everywhere, worshipping the creation. People are worshipping trees, they're worshipping the birds. They're not worried, they're worshipping the things God made instead of God. Now, if that's not Satan taking their eyes off God, ask me what it is. And if that movement is growing all the time, Jesus predicted that it would happen. Nothing wrong with looking after the birds, nothing wrong with looking after the trees. But making them gods virtually, and animals, making them gods is totally wrong. The Bible says, have I got it there? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature, I should say, rather than the creator who was blessed forever. So don't worship the creation. And now the next lot are things that can happen in our lives, but we need to deal with them. If we go on letting them happen, we won't inherit the kingdom of God. And we deal with them with the help of the Holy Spirit. If we practice hatred, you know what I mean by practice hatred? I mean you keep on hating somebody. Well, repent from it, stop doing it. If you practice it, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who cause fights, those who are quarrelsome, those who practice jealousies, those who practice outbursts of anger, those who practice selfish ambitions, those who practice heresies like Jehovah's Witnesses who deny Jesus Christ as God, or the Mormons, or those who practice envy, those who practice deliberate unnecessary abortion, those who practice wild parties, those who are cowardly about following Christ, those who are unbelieving, those who are sexually immoral, right, and those who are liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right at the very end of the Bible, it says it all very in one verse, right at the very end in Revelation, all I can sum it all up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Here we are here. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there's two deaths, there's a physical death and a spiritual death in the second part. Now, we need to walk to a degree in the fear of God. If we don't fear God, we'll never obey him. But also we have, of course, the love of God. And most people, everybody wants the love of God. That's fine. He offers us our love. His son died on the cross because he loved us. So we can receive the love, but let's understand there is this other side of the coin. And let's remember, too, the grace of God, which is the unmerited favor of God. Remember, Paul was a murderer, or Saul was a murderer. He was walking the Damascus Road looking for Christians so he could torture them and kill them. And Jesus appeared to him and said, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he went blind for a few days. And Ananias came and prayed for him. He came right. And he became the Apostle Paul. Now, here's a murderer and a person who was torturing Christians. God chose him like that, changed his whole life, and that was it. And the thief on the cross at the last moment said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, but he repented, you see. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Don't leave it till the last moment, folks. But there is sin. Now, you're crystal clear on it. I'm going to make a call in a few moments. And if God's been speaking to you about any of those issues, just keep playing them down from the beginning again, please. If God keeps speaking to you of any of those issues, I want you to stand in a few moments. I want to say a prayer of repentance with you. And let's clear the decks for God to be able to fulfill his plan fully in your life. And I'm going to close the message at that point and we'll go on with what we're going to do. Thank you, Lord. I'm conscious of time. So let's bow our heads, please, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you of any of those issues, which any one or more that have been affected, that have been in your life. And let's cleanse the house now and let the Spirit of God live fully in it and let God fulfill his plan for your life. Thank you, Father. Father, I just ask that in your love and mercy and grace, you show each and every one of us anything in that list, Lord, that we need to repent from as we stand in a few moments and turn our lives over completely to you. Father, anything that's blocking the power, your power or your love for us, your word says that our sins separate us from you. And tonight we want a total clearance, Lord, so that your plans can be fulfilled in our lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know that God is speaking to you on any of those matters, on any of those matters, please raise your hand now. Many hands are being raised here in the other room, I'm sure. Thank you, Lord. All right. Everybody who's raised their hand, give a moment or two, any other hands to be raised. Thank you, Lord. Anybody who's raised their hands and anybody else who wishes to raise their hand, stand where you are, please. I won't call you to the front. I haven't got room. But just stand up, please, where you are. Now, while you're standing, those who are seated, I want you to do this, please, in both places. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, do you wish to stand? Because if you do, I'll stand with you. So turn to the person next to you, because some people are a bit shy about this and they won't stand. You might encourage another person to come into the kingdom of God. Would you like to stand? Would you like to stand? Would you like to stand? And stand them up. Thank you. Just get the person to stand with you. Anybody else? Anybody around you you'd like to ask to stand? Ask the person next to you. Please ask the person next to you. You need to stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. You know, there can be old sinners as well as young sinners. Come on now. Anybody else need to stand, okay? Anybody else need to stand? Make sure you've asked your neighbour, do they want to stand? If they do, anything that's blocking you. Thank you, Lord. We all want the best from God, don't we?
Yes.
Well, it's simple. Surrender. And if you've never given your life to Christ, you should be standing now. If you've never... ask any person around you that you know hasn't given their life to Christ, would they like to stand? If you've got somebody, ask them if they'd like to stand and they can get through the prayer with us together. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right, those standing and perhaps those sitting can do this. Let me think just for a moment, Lord. All right. Why don't we all stand and we all say the sinner's prayer together? And we're now all standing to say the prayer. That's really the only reason we're giving you a stand. Let's say together, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I confess my sins. I believe you sent Jesus Christ into this world, born of a virgin, that he died on the cross. He paid the penalty for my sins. He gave me the gift of eternal life. He healed me. Thank you, Jesus. I believe he rose from the dead on the third day. That you are seated at the right hand of God. I turn to you, Lord Jesus, away from all sin, the works of the world, the flesh and the devil. And I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now let's raise our hands to God and say, come, Holy Spirit. Fill me now, Lord. I believe I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. Heaven is my home. Praise God. Praise God. As a praise
God.
Give God a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you've stood tonight to confess your sins on the authority of the Word of God, I now declare that if you've confessed your sins are as far as the east is from the west, that your sins are forgiven. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remember, the Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And you must be water baptized. That doesn't mean sprinkling one as an infant. It means going under believer's baptism under the water. So if you've never had that, you should do that if you want the very best from God, because that's what the Bible says. Okay. And then, another thing, that's about what I want to do there. How many of us know I've decided to follow Jesus? Can we sing a couple of verses of I've decided to follow Jesus? I love that old song. Somebody start it off, please. Praise God. No turning back. Give the Lord a clap. Thank you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Now, I've got here prayer cloths. Where are they, please, Kayleen? Here they are. I've got a lot of them. I brought one that everyone can have one. And also, can you hear me? Is this thing working? Now, the Bible says prayer cloths were taken from the body of the Apostle Paul, not from his dead body, but from him holding them, and passed to other people, and people got healed. And I've seen many people healed with a prayer cloth. As they place it on their body, attached it to their body, I wear one, attached to their body, and the healing power of God continues to touch them. And Kaylin, if you'll just stand, please. Somebody stand behind her, please. Now, here we are. Take them, sweetheart. Take them. Just take them. That's the power of God. That's the power of God on the prayer cloth. Just give them to me. We'll try somebody else's. You're too full of jumps, darling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But that's the power that's on these prayer cloths. Got the picture? That's the power that's on these prayer cloths. And that's what can happen as we take hold of them. What about you, brother? Why don't you take hold of them? So just hold them. There's the power. You'll feel the power coming. There it comes. There you are. Don't hold him up. There's the power, okay? I'll lose the demonstration if he holds him up. Okay. Thank you, Lord. You look very gentle there, sister. Why don't you stand up and grab hold of these things? Don't look so shocked. She's having a struggle getting out already. You're under the power already. Okay. Here we are. Just grab hold of them, please. She can't get to them. She can't get to them. Well, that's the power, isn't it? Take hold of them, sister. Yeah. Just hold them. Close your eyes. Yeah. Close your eyes. Believe for that power to flow. There it is. She's gone. All right. Now, I'm not trying to make a joke of it. I want to show you this is definite power. All right. Now, we're going to hand them out quickly through the whole meeting. And there's a pamphlet with them. If you've got somebody you want to give them to and show them the pamphlets, how to use them, that's fine. Come on, I want a bunch of people to help. Come on, you young 84-year-olds. Come on. Out you come, quickly. Pass them around. And in the other room, please. And now the prayer cloths. Oh, bunches of them. Pass them around. Thank you. And we're going to pray with these, and the same power will touch you in a moment. So look out. I'm getting to put you on these on your body in a moment and just get the same power of God. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. You want one? Here we are. Here we are. Now we've got another box of them, haven't we, sweetheart? Is that it? Put the lot together. You put some in the other room. There's a couple of hundred there, so we should be able to have enough for everybody or even more. Pass them around. Pass them around. Who in this room has not got a prayer cloth? Raise your hand. Quite a bunch of people at the back here, so see if you can get them out. Thank you. We've got a big bunch of them, so I'm just hoping we've got enough. And then there's the other thing. Thank you, Lord. Dear idea. Nothing else in the box there, I take it. Box is empty, is it? I thought I brought enough, but anyway. Oh, you've still got plenty of prayer cloths there. How are they getting on the next room? Have they got enough? Okay, still more. This is only one guy handing them out. How many more want prayer cloths, please? Look at the back there. Give a dozen to the other people, please. One person trying to handle the lot out. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's a whole bunch of the sack of them here. Everybody got one because there's plenty more here. If you want to take one for somebody else later, just pick them up from here. Oh, so I knew we had enough. Everybody got a prayer cloth now?
Can you leaflets when you're finished?
Any leaflets? There's a whole bunch of people down there, brother, who need leaflets at that far side. And up here too. Sure. Got somebody sick, show them that, let them read it. I've prayed over those prayer cloths. obviously, believing for the power of God to be on them. All right. Okay. I think we've handed out enough, have we? Everybody got one now, a prayer cloth and the other? Let's all stand, please, if you have got one. It should be the final time I ask you to stand. Please put the prayer cloth, please, on your chest. Now, whether you feel anything or not, the power of God is there. Put the prayer cloth on your chest, please. Father, I ask, believing in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask, believing for your power to flow on these prayer cloths now, whether people feel anything or not. You can put on the part of the body afflicted if you like. Be healed and set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your power flow, Lord. Let your power flow. Let your power flow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your anointing, Lord. Your anointing. Here it comes. Here's the anointing coming. Now, whether you feel it or not, just believe. You mightn't feel anything, but the anointing is there. Thank you, Lord. Don't be disheartened if you feel nothing. We don't go by feeling. We go by faith. God's put his power on the prayer cloth. The rod of Moses had power on it. Turned into a snake. The rod of Aaron did. There was power on the hair of Samson when it was cut off. He had no power. God can put power on anything. Put it on a prayer cloth. Be healed and set free through faith and in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, finally, can I say to you, if you gave your life to Christ tonight or God's spoken to you about it, make sure you speak to somebody who knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a Christian, walking with God, and get into a church that believes the Bible. Thank you, Lord. Now, please be seated. Yes, I want to say thank you to the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship for calling these meetings together. I've been with the fellowship and meetings and so forth the past 40 years. Wonderful fellowship. If you want to join the fellowship, the forms are available and you can do so at any time. Now, I just want to do something as we close so everybody feels they've got something. This might be a bit ambitious, and I'm going to ask my good friend Jimmy to join me here. Now, I've got a suggestion. I'm just working it out in this cunning brain of mine. I'm wondering if we can clear a passageway down there. You know, see, brother, just over there. See those folks sitting that way? I want people to walk down this way, be touched by the power of God, and walk out. I want everybody to get a touch from God. And Jimmy and I are going to do the work. Holy Spirit will do it. You help me, Jimmy? Good on you. So what I suggest is that you go over there and the people from this block walk down past you there and just briefly lay hands on each one. I'll do the people here. We'll do this block and this block, then we'll work our way through to the other room. Yeah, and I stand at the beginning there. Wait a minute. Might be best to stand at the back so that they, yeah, and let them, the fellow at the back come first and let them walk up. All right. Excuse me, can I have your attention, please? Right at the back there, not the people standing, we're going to ask the first person, those people right at the back, to come. Let me think. Is this going to fiddle things up? I don't think it will. No. Jimmy, I think you might be better here, right here. Otherwise, we're going to have people crossing over each other. Okay. If you can stand here, and if these people come up one at a time and go out that way, that won't block anything, and I'll tell you. So I'm going to ask these people here, starting with the first row, if you'd like to walk past me here and out, I'll quickly lay hands on you. All right? So we'll do it that way. If you wish to have hands laid on you, we'll do it that way. And Jimmy will do these folk, starting at the back there, or wherever you want to start at the front if you like. Huh? Yeah, there'll be enough for him. Well, it's only just going to be the first few people. Okay. Yes, you should leave as you go past. Just a quick prayer. Okay, the meeting is over. We're going to pray for you quickly. Yes, sister, the anointing power and healing of God on you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, brother, the anointing power. Now go that way back, can you? Are you finished? You got your clothes? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The healing power of God in Jesus' name. Go that way, please. Thank you, brother. Supervise it, please. Your anointing, Father.
Yeah, sure.